We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, instead of the memory verse, which we all memorize, right, is on the Heart to Heart Facebook and Instagram, in case you want to hear it. But today we're doing the Battle of Joshua. Here we go. Jericho. Here we go. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about your man Gideon, you may talk about your man Saul, but there's none like good old Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. That's right, right? Up to the walls of Jericho, they march with spear in hand. Go blow those ram horns, Joshua cried, for the battle is in God's hand. Then the ram horns began to blow, trumpets began to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. Let's do it. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Come on. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father. We are thankful. We are thankful, Father, for your faithfulness, for your grace, your love for us, your goodness that you pour out on us, Lord. And we just want to bless your name this morning. I pray, Father, for your anointing to be on the teaching this morning. Father, I just want to come before you just excited about knowing, Lord, that these walls of fear are going to be brought down today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, those walls of fear will be brought down today as we just go through this chapter. And we thank you, Father, for blessing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to talk to you a little bit about, I've got all these notes. You know, do you ever have all these notes and a little bit of that and a little bit of that and a little bit of that? I was thinking about with this chapter, these were ordinary people that were going to war. We have no indication that they had any kind of soldier training. They were, it has to do with, you know, when they left Gilgal or how long they stayed in Gilgal and what went on there. But what the Lord told them to do was to consecrate themselves. That's how they went into battle. They consecrated themselves. They were wholly given over to God. They were wholly given over under the direction of Joshua. Joshua was under the direction of God, and they knew that God spoke to him because of the parting of the Jordan River. And so they knew that they could trust him, and so they followed his direction. It made no sense to them that they should walk around a city for any length of time at all. They shouldn't have to walk around a city to make this thing happen. But how were they going to fight this battle? There was, I just am so taken by the fact of how God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary people who will get behind him. The Ark of the Covenant would be in the middle of everything, would be the center of everything as they marched around the city. We need to get behind him. God will use any of us if we will get behind him and be in his presence. That's the important teaching of this chapter. I spoke with someone yesterday and really was shocked to find out that this person knew nothing about this story. We live in America, for goodness sakes. Why does this person not know anything about this Bible story? But I'm reminded that not everybody knows what I know. And we all need to be reminded that not everybody knows what we know. And so when the Lord tells us to share something, we need to share it. And we need to be confident in what we're sharing. So they're about 5 miles across the river. The Israelites are going to meet their first enemies, and they are protected behind the walls of Jericho. 6 days, you know the story. 6 days, they're supposed to march around, and then in a particular order, and then on the seventh day, they're going to march around 7 times, and then they're going to blow the trumpet and all of that sort of thing. So the Israelites have crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. They have camped in Gilgal for their preparation. They've erected the stones of remembrance. They restored the act of circumcision, which was so exciting for them, and they celebrated Passover, which they hadn't celebrated out in the wilderness. They were commanded to celebrate Passover, and they didn't do it for 40 years. What are you going to use? Manna and what? But they hadn't, and now they have celebrated the Passover. The manna has stopped because they were eating the food of the land that they were in right now. And so Jesus comes to Joshua and in a way that he could understand, that was in chapter 5, and I'm sure that Ruth covered that with you. God came to him in a way that he could understand. He was a soldier. And Jesus himself in a Christophany is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And so a Christophany in the appeared to Joshua, and he said, "I am the commander of the army of the Lord." And immediately they bowed down. Joshua bowed down. We know that this commander of the Lord was not an angel, because all angels say, "Don't do that. Do not bow down to me." We know that this was a Christophany. We know that this was Christ himself that was there appearing before him and letting him know, and said the same thing to him that had been said to Moses: take off your shoes, your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. And so on that premise, he's standing there on the holy ground and actually falls down there before him to worship him. Now, Jericho is the oldest city in the world. It is the oldest city in the world. Its walls had been fortified securely. We know that in the chapter that we're in, we know that. And in verse, let's get to my chapter. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They were securely shut up in there. And they were there because of their fear of the Israelites. Now, at any point, they could have done the same thing that Rahab did. They could have believed him. They could have repented. They could have done, repented. You know the thing that went on in Asbury? Is it Kentucky? Asbury, Kentucky? Do you know that that very thing happened just before the other revival? In Asbury, Kentucky, was a similar thing that happened right here. It's in the book, The Jesus People, that is well out of print now. It was during our time of being there. And this exact thing had happened, and then the preaching just went out from there. So I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for God to do some great things. So anyway, how did that tie together with what I just said? I don't know. They repented. They could have repented, but they didn't. They stayed behind the walls of fear. They stayed behind the walls of fear. Only Rahab would be the one that would put that cord down. They had heard about the Israelites, and they barricaded themselves in. Now, the Jericho wall was a double wall. Did any of you look it up? Did any of you look up the wall of Jericho? It's so cool because it was a double wall. Now, on this, the first wall was approximately 12 to 15 feet high, 6 feet deep or thick. And then there was, behind that was an embankment, a soil embankment. There were houses in there. There were people that lived in there. And then there was another wall behind it. And so altogether, it would be a 30-foot wall that's going there. So you have the people behind the first wall, and then you have the people that are inside the bigger wall. The city covered approximately 6 acres inside the wall and another 4 acres between the two walls in that, I want to say grassy area, but where the other houses were built. It had a population of approximately 2,000 people, and that makes 200 people per acre. Because I kept asking myself, okay, so I don't know how big this place is. I've always thought, you know, okay, so a little city, they walked around it. Well, they actually walked around with that acreage. If you take it down to miles, they walked approximately a half a mile every day for 6 days. It was a half a mile all the way around the city as they went. And then on the seventh day, they walked 3.5 miles. That's so important that you know that. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Someone should stop you on the street and ask you what you know. You can tell them that. When the walls fell, though, archaeologists say that it fell outward, which created a walkway. When it fell, they just walked on top of the wall into the city. You know, in the scripture, as you read it, it says they walked straight in. Yeah, so that's why that happened. And remember, as you read this story, that what's hard for you is not hard for God. Battles are best fought with prayer and faith. Keep your eyes on the Lord and worship while you wait. Worship while you wait. The victory cry was made before the victory was shown. As they cried out on that seventh day, and the walls had not come down, but as they cried out, they were worshiping while they waited. In Acts 16, Paul was singing and praying at midnight before the earthquake happened. And so, worshiping while you wait. And so, we already talked about the common people. And so, and the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." So I'm giving you everything that is in there, and you can trust me. "You shall march around the city." So they get their orders. "You shall march around the city, all you men of war." That's what stood out to me, all you men of war. So all of the men were there, but they were not really soldiers. Nothing I can see says that they were soldiers or they were trained while they were in Gilgal to be soldiers. Did they do any hunting while they were in the wilderness? I don't know. We have no indication of that. What we have indication of is that they went to war spiritually for sure in their preparation for what was going to happen here. "And so you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days, and 7 priests." Now notice how many sevens are in here. "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark." So ram's horns, not the silver horns. "But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And so I was just wondering about that. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And Joshua went, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I'll go tell him. And so Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going round it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp, and Joshua rose early in the morning. Once again, he rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark again. The 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And so what we have here in this place, so that you have the armed men, you have the 7 priests with the ram's horns, you have the Ark, you have the armed men, and you have the people behind them. Ram's horns, not the silver horns or trumpets. And I just wonder if the sound of this ram's horn is what we will hear any day now. I just wonder. You know, I happen to have one. You're going to have fun with this. So here's what it looks like. And it's going to be a long blast on that 7th day. I wonder if that's what it's going to sound like. Not like a regular trumpet, but let me see. I wonder if that's what it's going to sound like. I was practicing on this in my office last night, and my grandkids came and knocked on the door. Are you okay? Are you okay? Because it was going all numbers. So. But I wonder if that's what we're going to hear any day now. Just any day that the Lord would have that trumpet sound. And so they were never to take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. Why is the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of all of this? Because it was because the Lord was fighting the battle. The Lord will fight for you. And I've got to tell you, and I was really impressed as I was studying this, I've got to tell you, the Lord is fighting for you. Whatever it is, the Lord is fighting for you. Whatever that disappointment is, whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is, the Lord is fighting for you. Priests were never to go into battle, yet here they are. And the seventh day they walked seven times around the city and shouted and blew the horns. That's more work and more distance than they were ever allowed to do on Shabbat. On Shabbat, the seventh day, they were to do this. They were to walk around the city 3.5 miles, and they were to blow these horns. And so what does this mean that all of these things are out of place? All of these things were but a shadow of what would come in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. They all are a shadow of what will be. And so we find that here. Some things that the Israelites learned. They realized the impossibility of what they were doing. They realized the impossibility of what they were doing. They learned patience. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm not supposed to be talking. Do you ever find yourself just making noise? Sometimes I'll be watching a TV program or something. I heard I'm really old if you call it a program. But there's no question there. I know that the answer to that one. And so I'll be sitting there in front of the TV watching a program, and I'll just be like, I'm making noise for no reason. They weren't allowed to make noise of any kind. My life's verse, I have found, is a fool speaks his whole mind, but a wise person keeps it until after. That's my life's verse, because I'm very quick to speak sometimes. And I have learned that God has a better way of doing it. So a fool speaks their whole mind, but a wise person keeps it until after. And so they learned patience. They learned to be quiet. That's going to fall under something else. But they learned patience, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, in that you have ministered and continue to minister to the necessity of the saints. They had learned patience. They had learned to stick with it. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. And the third thing that they learned was discipline, self-control. They learned to keep quiet. Shut it. From that old movie, this is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Just keep quiet, just until the right time. What they were also doing was that they were providing a witness to the people of Jericho. The people of Jericho could have repented at any time. At any time, their lives could have been saved. The people of Jericho could have repented. And then we move on. Where did we leave off here? Commanded the people. And Joshua rose early in the morning, the seven priests. We went through that, right? And we got down to the second day. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, which is going to be a lot harder when we do the time change, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times, and the seventh time it was so, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, because she hid the... Weren't they spies? Yes, and they were messengers. They brought the message that if she were to be under the scarlet cord, if she would be under the blood, we would say, of Jesus, that she would be free, that she would be saved. The messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things. Now, this is important because in the next chapter, when we get into the next chapter, there's something to be said about this. By all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel, a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and all the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Everything else is going to burn. And you know what? In our lives today, everything's going to burn. All those things that we are just so excited about owning, they're just going to burn. They're going to be gone. Only the things... One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's about 400 years old, I think. It's been around a long time, but I it so always speaks to us, doesn't it? Gold and vessels and bronze and all those things that we hold so dear to us. So they go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. It fell flat. And made that walking space. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. So they didn't keep any of the livestock. They didn't keep anything that belonged to them. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. From there, bring out the woman and all she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother. It doesn't say how many brothers, and all that she had. She'd been busy witnessing. She'd been busy telling people, come into the house, come into the house. The people that were important to her, come into the house. I have a promise of God. That's what we're telling people when we witness to them. I have a promise of God. Come into the house of God. Come in. Not come into the church. Come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they brought out her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire, only the silver, gold, vessels of bronze, and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers when Joshua sent to spy out the land. What do you mean she dwells in Israel till this day? What does that mean? She'd be really old. She dwells in Israel to this day because she was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Rahab would be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Rahab's son was Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, Obed's mom. Obed would be the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. David was the father of Solomon. And interesting that it says this, David was the father of Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. It's written in Scripture. It's right there for everybody to see. And then it goes on, Solomon begot Rehoboam, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it gets down to Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That's Matthew 1. You can look it up on your own and get all of the names in there. And so her name, she remains there in Israel because of her love for God, because of her obedience to the Lord. Then Joshua charged them in verse 26 at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with its his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So Joshua cursed anyone who would rebuild the city, and yet someone did. In 1 Kings 16:34, "In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up the gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun." Jericho is the oldest city in the world, and it remains. And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all of the country. Here's the deal. God brought down the walls. And if we try to resurrect those walls, it will cost us dearly. Jesus Christ broke down the walls of sin and fear in our lives. We dare not build them back up and build something between us and him, something between us and some other person. It was at work. It was a work of the Holy Spirit that brought down those walls of Jericho, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit that brings down the walls in our lives as well. When God has done a good work, don't allow the enemy to rip it off. They crossed the Jordan, prepared themselves in Gilgal, took God's marching orders, and saw the huge walls come tumbling down. This was the first of many enemies who would be defeated. However, in chapter 7, we find pretty quickly that someone will do something that will make them lose the next battle. And we'll be talking about Achan next week, when we're together again. So, realize the impossibility of doing anything without God's direction. Realize the impossibility of doing anything without God's direction. Remember the importance of faith and patience. Remember the importance of faith and patience. Discipline yourself to keep quiet. Have self-control. Allow yourself to be a witness to those around you. Be messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And don't rebuild a wall of separation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your love, for the ability, Lord, to stand here and share your word. Thank you, God, that you gave your life that we might have eternal life, that we might be forgiven for our sins, that we might receive that atonement. We thank you, Lord. We are blessed more than we deserved. And we are thankful, God. Make us wise women who speak wisdom and know when to be quiet. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.